Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hi, and welcome back to Recall the Midwife. We are three super fans and best friends, and each week we watch and discuss an episode of Call the Midwife. This week we are discussing the series 6/7 Christmas special. I'm Becky.
I'm Alex.
I'm Jen. A reminder that this week's episode deals with death and dying, childhood trauma, domestic violence, birth trauma, and stillbirth. So if those are topics you would prefer to skip this time, we understand and hope you join us for the next one. It's Christmas in Poplar and everyone is celebrating. The Turners enjoy their first Christmas with Teddy. Barbara and Tom are celebrating as newlyweds, and Trixie and Christopher have planned a ski vacation to Switzerland. Things go awry, however, when a huge snowstorm hits and all of London is shut down. Nanata's house gathers its supplies and sets up shop in a local pub, and Sheila comes out of her maternity leave early to help Dr. Turner in the clinic. Dr. Turner treats Percival Tillerson for a leg burn, and a few days into the snowstorm, his body is discovered on a side street. Dr. Turner determines he lost his way and froze to death. When Sister Julienne goes to his home to check on his wife, she finds out Percival was a chronic abuser, and Mabel lost both her children due to his terrible treatment. Sister Julienne finds Mabel's daughter, and despite a painful history, the two women are able to reconcile. Meanwhile, Valerie meets expectant mother Linda Odenshaw and finds out Selwyn, her partner, is not the baby's father. Valerie helps Linda deliver, but at first she thinks the baby is stillborn. Selwyn gives the baby a hot water bottle, and as Valerie is carrying him back to Nanatus, she hears a cry. The baby is alive and well, and Linda gives him Selwyn's middle name, John. Lastly, Tom is faced with a big decision, and he and Barbara make the choice to leave Poplar for 6 months, and they catch the train just as the children are performing the annual Christmas show in the community center. I hope that synopsis did its work, girls, because my gosh, this episode was jam-packed.
I'm not going to say I'm disappointed by this, because I really did. There were great things about it.
This is one of Becky's favourites. She's been talking about it for weeks.
Yeah, but do you not think it had a lot to live up to? The finale of the series before was Tom and Barbara's wedding. I feel like they missed a trick not having a big, lovely Christmas wedding for the Christmas episode.
Well, I think, and when we went to that talk that Heidi Thomas did, she said that because they have a Christmas special each year, it has to kind of track major events in that year. And the 1962 big freeze, I don't think they could have done anything but
fair enough, because I did check up on the big freeze as well, actually. Mm-hmm. And it was factually correct, as we know Heidi Thomas is so fastidious about. So And also, look at me getting fastidious in this early.
Mm-hmm. She is nothing if not a true historian, along with being an amazing writer and everything else.
And Jenny Agata actually published an article in the Times that accompanied this episode, which talks about her recollections of the big freeze.
She remembered it?
Yeah.
Oh. You know what? I'll find it and I'll post that on our social media for when we release this.
Oh, I'd love to look at that. I would really love to look at that.
Well, you will do. You'll just look at our social media.
Oh, girls, I'll tell you what, though. This episode was as heavy as they come, but I'm not kidding when I tell you that, like, I was watching it and I was absolutely lolling for the first 10 minutes. There were so many good lines and scenes in the first 10 minutes that it, like, really lifted me up. And then it, like, absolutely crashed me back down to earth as soon as I realized what happened to Mr. Tillerson and, like, what was going on with Mabel. But either way, just to say, the first few minutes were absolute bliss and I loved it and I would live in that world forever.
Yeah, so the start of the episode is very much like, because Christmas is over quite quickly and then we get the big freeze. Violet is fitting Valerie for her pantomime costume and Violet says to Val, "You've certainly got the legs for Principal Boy." Was that a compliment?
That's what I thought. That's exactly what I've written. I don't know if I'd like to be told if I had the legs for Principal Boy. And then she was like, also, she keeps saying about how tall she is. I'm like, you're not even that tall, Val.
Yeah, you're right.
This is from someone who I am tall, but still.
I am tall too, yeah. Yeah. I mean, but Valerie is tall-ish in the grand scheme.
Yeah, but just ish. I've never looked at Valerie and thought, oh, she's tall. But
yeah.
I'd say Patsy was taller.
Yeah, Patsy is tall.
But all of a sudden, Patsy and Delia are missing. Where are they? Where'd they go? Oh,
they're Christmasing with Jane.
I know, but this is the called midwife curse. Like literally, like all of a sudden you're there and then you're just gone. And I know, and I think if I remember correctly, that we don't see them again. And then they get a letter and it's like, oh, here's like a little whatever update. And then it's like, well, anyway, they're gone. Okay, bye. Like,
so they go traveling, don't they? Because they get a postcard and they're in some far-flung place, but no one actually said, oh, Patsy and Dida have decided to go traveling together.
Yeah, no. They're just all of a sudden like nurses
without
borders. I'd
like to think. So on Neighbours, yes, this is literally so niche, no one's going to care. But I'm telling you anyway. So Neighbours, there was a character called Marlene Kratz and she went on a cruise and that's how they got rid of her, right? But she never came back. So everyone's just laughing about the fact that she's been on this 16-year cruise. Maybe Jane is on that cruise with Marlene Kratz, with Reverend Appleby Thornton, and now Delia and Patsy have gone to join them.
Oh, you guys, though, listen, I just thought about Reverend Appleby Thornton the other day because my mom and I were watching this show called Archie, and it's basically the story of Cary Grant. It's on, I'm sure it was on BBC. Yeah,
it's brand new over here. They're advertising everywhere.
Oh, okay. So they have it on BritBox that we have. So we watch that show. And it's really good. I'd like Jason Isaacs.
I've got it on my list. Grant.
Yeah, it's really good. I highly recommend. And this isn't really spoiling anything, but he has a crazy life story, like truly crazy life story. But the guy who plays Cary Grant's manager in that show is Reverend Appleby Thornton. And I haven't seen him since
he's so talented.
He's really good. And like,
he's amazing.
He played one of the prime ministers on The Crown. I mean, he's been in 8 million things. He's like one of those character actors that's just so good and he's everywhere. But we were watching it and I was like, oh my gosh, Mom, it's Reverend Appleby Thornton. And
AKA Rat. Rat from My Notes.
I know. And I just was like, I love him. Like, I want to go back to that episode and watch it again.
Now,
so
this is a very complicated episode to navigate around. So on that note, Becky, you can navigate.
I don't even know where we're going to go first. I do want to talk about the fact that they took a photo as a group with a sign that said Christmas 1962.
I know.
And it's made me want to do
that. I knew you'd want to do that when you saw that. I saw that as well. And I thought, I bet Becky wants to do that.
I might do it this year.
It's such a good idea, though. Like, everyone really was in the photo. They all looked so good. It was really cute.
Well, now with the iPhones and stuff, though, you can see what years stuff was taken and what date. Do you know what I mean?
Well, you'll get a photo from me on Christmas Day with a poster.
Oh, I hope so. I really hope so.
Let's start by talking about Trixie and Christopher, because they're off skiing in Switzerland.
Oh, okay. I have thoughts about this, girls.
Have either of you heard the term musquash? Not from Call the Midwife.
No, I didn't even hear. No idea.
I've heard it, but I couldn't.
So the first time we heard it was when Avril had said that her hat was musquash.
I think my grandma had a coat as well that was...
We didn't know
what animal it was, a small furry animal, but I suspect it was probably...
Well, so anyway, she's now got a musquash hat.
Musquash hat. Oh, okay.
Only two times in history I've ever heard it be referenced, both Call the Midwife.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If Trixie had made it to Switzerland, she would have just been so... Surely she would have been so out of place.
I don't think she would have. No, they've skied all the après posh skiers.
Après ski.
Because surely all of the outfits that she was taking were so impractical.
But they were après ski. I don't think she was ever going to get on a slope. Like, I don't think she was going to put...
Bex, a lot of people I know who are posh who go skiing don't go skiing. They just go drinking après skiing.
Yeah, I mean, I think like you eat like hot cheese and drink, and then at like 4:30 you're absolutely plopped, and then you like go back up to your room or chalet or whatever like that. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, the pubs actually go skiing.
But here's my question, girls. Okay, now this is a throwback to when Jenny, young Jenny, was going on a weekend away with.
Yes.
Oh, Alec. And I was watching this episode and I was like, oh, okay. They're at the vacation. They're at their like first couple's vacation stage. Like that's a very important relationship stage. And I was like, they're going to Switzerland. No one knows them in Switzerland. And nothing from Switzerland is going to come back to Poplar if it doesn't want to. So I was like, do we think that Trixie and Christopher are going to share a bedroom?
No. I like the way we're both like, no, we don't have an explanation for you, but we both think no, resolutely.
Well,
no.
See, I didn't necessarily think so either, but at the same time, I was like, huh.
I found it weird it was actually accepted that she was going to go with him, like it wasn't this big scandal. I think actually that would have been a big scandal.
Well, they didn't even talk about it at all. And like Jenny literally had 45 minutes of her episode talking about sleeping arrangements on her vacation. And it was like, that was only like not even 10 years ago. It was like 5 years ago, maybe, or less. I mean, I don't know time-wise or whatever, but you know what I'm saying?
Parents, it wasn't that long. My parents in 1968 or 1969, my mum came to stay with my dad for the holidays. They met at university in like the September or whatever. And then she came to stay and my grandparents were going to be away. They arranged for my dad's grandma to stay at the house as chaperone.
To like supervise them.
Yeah. And that was like 8 years after that. My point being, I just really can't see Trixie, everyone being fine with Trixie going off to Switzerland with a man, like a gentleman friend.
Well, and I'll say this for Trixie. I mean, she makes a point, not in this part of it, but like years earlier, of being like, oh, men may think I'm a certain type of way, but like, I'm really like a very proper, like traditional woman.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I didn't think they were going to spend the night either. But at the same time, I'm like, you're going to, I mean, it's just weird because it's hard to imagine thinking about going on a vacation or like a holiday or whatever, or some kind of a trip with your boyfriend, your real life boyfriend, and like being like, well, babe, book us two rooms. You know, like it just like nowadays, it's just not.
To be honest, with my husband's snoring problem, it sounds absolutely blissful.
You're like, honey, we're booking two rooms. I want a chaste holiday with my spouse.
I just think that Trixie is very proper. I think, and she's made that point that people think she's a certain way, but she's absolutely not. So
I took it as she'd been going around saying they've booked two rooms to everyone.
Yeah, I think Christopher is also like a very like proper, respectable guy. Like I feel like he might be able to be convinced, but I'm just saying like I think he would be like wanting to do whatever makes her comfortable and genuinely not assuming anything. So I mean, so, I don't think he's the kind of guy that would push at all.
There's some context as well. We've just said that they're going to Switzerland, so it's obviously been Christmas. It's been this massive, we need to talk about Christmas actually, we'll talk about that in a second, but it's been this massive freezing cold spell that was just ridiculous, really really cold, really really snowy, so the flight was grounded, so they were supposed to go but then couldn't, so he had to actually spend the night in an artist's house, bless him.
I know, which like really had me like, I was, again, this is part of the lols, like I was lolling so hard.
And did
I
remind you by all the alcohol they were trying to ply him with and things like that, did it remind you of my mum, you too?
When we go over to your house, no matter what time of day it is or what the occasion is, she's like, do you want a glass of wine? I'll get you a glass of wine. Here's a glass of wine. And you're like, it's 11:30 in the morning.
And you can have a choice of any sort of wine.
Yeah. I know. And you've got loads. And then like before you're even done, she's like, top up.
Honestly, do you remember that time we all went to a wedding and then the next day we were all traveling to from Manchester Airport. So we all came to stay at mine. All the girls from uni. We're going on this massive holiday, like 10 of us, apart from our one friend who went on a honeymoon. Sorry. Anyway. We all went.
She lost out, honestly. Yeah, it was really a bummer that she had to be the one to get married. Yeah.
So we all went on holiday to Spain. It was amazing, but we were all flying. And basically, my brother and my dad were taking us all in the morning.
I do remember that.
We were all pretty hungover from the wedding anyway. And we get there. And basically, my mum was just there. And Jen, you were absolutely off your face. You were so drunk.
Do you remember the photographer taking photos of Jen? And we were like,
you passed out.
Oh, don't talk about it. It's a terrible...
I'm talking about the day before the flight. So the next morning when we're all getting up at daft o'clock for this flight, we're so hungover because my mum's just been plying us with alcohol. It was like 10 of us.
Well, so wait. So the day after the wedding, we like woke up in our hotel rooms at the venue and then we had like a day to kind of like get over...
Travel to mine.
Everything.
Yeah.
And then that night we stayed at yours and then the next day is when we left.
Yeah.
So we did have like at least 24 hours to kind of like sober up before we had to get on a plane.
Yeah, but we didn't sober up, did we? Because my mum just kept... We were all really hungover.
We were, I mean, I didn't even drink anything else, but I think I was still drunk for like the whole of the next day. I mean, and I was, oh God,
I went to bed.
Anyway. I think I did go to bed because I don't think I slept at all that night of the wedding when I was Let's not talk about this anymore.
I don't think you probably did go to bed, Alex, because I was staying with you and another friend, but yep. ended up going back to the other venue.
Well, yeah,
we had all of these
like really weird sleeping arrangements. Like, and I was supposed to sleep with you guys, but then it just all went so crazy that
I
night.
I just had a load of like roller cola cocktails till about.
Oh, we should probably talk about Call the Midwife.
Yeah, sorry. Anyway.
I think given half the chance, Sister Julienne would have gone to Switzerland because yeah. everybody is so enamored with Christopher.
They all love him. I know.
Sister Monica Joan would like spooning, calling him such a very personable young man.
Yeah. Sister Monica Joan would be like pinching his butt. You know what I mean? Like, she's a real guy. She's giving me real butt pinching energy, you know? Like,
well, it made me laugh because he obviously had to stay over. So they were playing parlor games. They kept calling them parlor games, which I loved.
Oh, and my God. Musical giving chairs.
Him loads of but they were doing a mum on him and giving him loads of drinks and loads of just making sure his every want and need.
Yeah.
We're all sorted. Nurse Crane went and sorted his bedroom out and said she'd even given him an electric blanket.
Yeah.
I know. So anyway, in the morning afterwards, Trixie and Val are talking. They're freezing and Val's like, it's even frozen inside the window. It's even worse. Your flight's definitely not going to go this morning kind of thing. Yeah. And so Trixie goes out to the toilet and then she's like, Christopher, see me in my hair rollers. Comes back.
Well,
in.
He comes out in a pink nightrobe. And
I love
his dressing.
If I were Trixie,
it was really good on him, actually. Like, I don't know. It was kind of working for me. I liked it.
If I were Trixie, I'd slept in the fur coat.
I know.
Well, and I just loved how Valerie, Trixie sees him. They both see each other and he's just like, hi. Like, he doesn't care.
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh my God. And she runs back in the bedroom and she tells Valerie what happened. And Valerie's like, well, he's a medical professional. I hardly think he's going to have a problem with seeing your rollers. And she's just like, oh.
Yeah, she's like, you didn't think your hair looks like that naturally.
Yeah. That's what she says.
So the toilet is frozen. Why was Sister Winifred so insistent that he shouldn't look?
I didn't think she'd done something in it, hadn't she?
No.
You think?
No.
Yes.
Wait, what?
Yes, I think she'd done something in it and then was like horrified, didn't want anyone seeing.
No,
I just say, spoiler for the end of this episode, and no one's taking my zero. My zero is going to be Sister Winifred. Just for that pure stupidity of the toilet moment. But carry on.
See, the thing is, I thought it was something like that, like a classic reason why the toilet wasn't flushing. But then when she was banging on it, she was clearly like cracking ice. So you think she did something on top of ice?
Yeah, I think she didn't realize it was ice, did something on it.
Oh my God.
And then's really embarrassed.
But see, I just was mortified on her behalf because then she like cracks literally the whole toilet bowl in half.
I
tell you, that would absolutely send me to the moon because then it's like, how are we ever going to get a toilet back? You know what I mean? Like, Nada's house already does not have a lot of money. Like, they would have to like call somebody to get it fixed, and like that's so much money. And like, how long is it going to take? Like, who's going to come out and do it in this weather?
Well, Fred will sort it.
He'll jimmy up a kazi like quite well or whatever.
Well,
lots of households have a don't flush in the middle of the night because you'll wake the house policy.
Yeah,
really. Is that true?
Have you never heard of that?
No.
To be honest, I don't flush in the middle of the night. It's because I don't want to wake my daughter.
Oh, I always flush in the middle of the night.
Well, that is a lovely, what a free and expressive household you are.
I know. Well, the thing is, I mean, I never thought about that. Oh, well, I guess, I don't know. I'm sure people don't. I'm sure I'm not the norm or anything like that, but yeah.
I'm still surprised that there's only one toilet indoors for the amount of people that live in an artist's house.
It's shocking.
Well, if you remember, though, they got rid of that room that was full of urinals. They would have had toilets in there as well, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
To be sharing one toilet.
But also, they put loads of people in one room when there's loads of other extra rooms they suddenly find. So, do you know what I mean? I feel like that's for the story, yeah.
But they've got to have another toilet in there. Well, I guess they don't, though, because then they all go to the outhouse. I mean, my thing that I thought was absolutely insane was when Valerie was like, can I please go first? I'm absolutely bursting. I was like, Valerie, how did you even make it this far? Like, literally, when I wake up in the morning, the very first, I can't get dressed before I go to the bathroom. Like, I have to go to the bathroom right away. Like, I'm just like, how did you manage that? Also, like, how did they... Well, I guess it's not. I guess I was like, how did they let the toilet freeze over in the first place? But I'm just at the same time, I'm like, I guess they had no idea because all of them underestimated the storm. Like,
oh, yeah, it was apparently ridiculous, this big freeze.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, speaking of big freeze, Trixie refusing thermals. Navy blue. And she was like, thanks, but I think I've sacrificed enough. Well, you might sacrifice your toes if you carry on like that. Do you know what I mean?
I know.
I just think there's no, I mean, I love a thermal. I wear a thermal vest. I'm not ashamed to say it.
And just to say, when you mean vest, you mean like a shirt, not like a vest that's like, you mean it's like a tank top,
a long sleeve
shirt, basically, is what you're talking about. Okay.
Well, what's a vest in America?
Well, a vest in America is what you guys would call a waistcoat.
Oh yeah, of course it is.
Yeah. Like if I was Bex, I would have said, I love a thermal. I wear a thermal long sleeve shirt all the time. I wouldn't have said vest. One of those things. Oh, anything here's my question. On the storm, when Phyllis has realized that there's no milk, I'm like, here's my question to you girls, because we're all tea drinkers. Would you drink your tea without milk?
I do this sometimes, because on a Monday morning, if I get into work early, there's no milk yet. So
I'll have a cup of tea.
I'll have a very weak tea. So I'll make half a cup and then I'll top it up with hot water.
Oh,
I would have to have it without milk, because obviously there's no milk, but I would absolutely moan about it constantly. Oh, and I just would be an absolute nightmare to be around until we got milk.
No, I can drink a weak tea, but my mum used to have tea with milk and sugar. Mm-hmm. And then so my granddad told her she wanted to I think she just wanted to stop taking sugar in her tea. So my granddad was like, for a week, you need to have tea and lemon.
Oh, black tea and lemon?
Black tea with a slice of lemon in it. So she drank that for a week. And then when she went back to her old tea, it was far too sweet.
So she didn't have sugar in it after that.
Now she has black tea and black coffee.
Oh,
your mum's hard as nails.
Wow. Wow. Like, truly, that's the kind of personality that literally is what built both of our countries. Like, I am not that kind of personality. I would just be like laying on the ground, just not doing anything.
You know
anything,
how
like,
I am
no
about
productive.
My knee. I'm really miserable constantly. That's how I'd be about no milk.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I just would be like, I'm not having it. Like, I'm not this kind of person, but it's like, it's either going to be the way that I want it or it's nothing. Like, I will do something else in terms of the beverage train. I just was sitting there and I was like, if I can't have milk and sugar in my tea, I'm just not having it. I don't want to drink whatever that is that's in there. If it's not the way I want, I just can't do it.
I would totally be Sister Monica Jane hiding milk in the out.
Oh, yes, same.
Been there. Same. What day were we on?
Oh, my God. Like 2 weeks or something. Because remember, Phyllis, she comes down and there's like a montage of her like ripping all the days off the calendar.
Yeah.
And like literally a week and a half goes by. Yeah. I'm like,
maybe it lasted longer than everything else seemed to.
Well, poor Reggie is having water on. I tell you, this is what I would not do. I would not have water on cornflakes.
No, neither would I.
Again, just would not eat cereal.
I'd eat it dry rather than have water.
I would eat it dry. I mean, milk is literally 50% of the recipe. I mean, you cannot substitute it. Like, there's no way around.
Speaking of Reggie, I loved it when he got aftershave.
Oh, the Old Spice. And oh my God. Oh wait, you guys, quick moment.
And also Angela's tea set.
Angela's tea set. Also, can we just like stop and pause, because I've been like in my kitchen like a lot with like Christmas cooking and stuff like that and baking whatever. Sheila's stand mixer, her vintage stand mixer, did you see it?
Well, did you not get my message? My mum still has that.
She still has that one.
It looks identical.
Oh my God, Bex, I want a photo. I want
see when you sent that message, I was like, oh right, that means absolutely nothing to me, whereas you two are absolutely losing your mind over this. I'm like, oh, I don't know.
I want to go around. Well, this is a continuation of my insane I want to time travel so I can go to the grocery store, you know, comment from last week basically. But like, I want to walk around Sheila's kitchen and just like open all the cupboards and like pull out all the appliances, because she's like the modern housewife of her time, you know what I mean? Like that stand mixer, that's the primo stand mixer. You know, like it's got the head that goes up. It's got the bowl that like clicks into it and everything, the paddle, you know. Oh,
I will send you a photo, Jen. And she was making Scotch pancakes. I had Scotch pancakes for my breakfast this morning.
Now, wait, tell us what Scotch pancakes are so we all know.
Do you know, I researched this because I knew this was going to come up.
Look at our crack investigation team.
So a Scotch pancake, because then I was like, why is Scotch pancake different? It's basically a drop scone. Do you remember when Sister Winifred went to meet Sister Julienne's ex and the cook was making drop scones and she was ever so disappointed?
Yes, I do.
Well, it's the same as a Scotch pancake. So it's self-raising flour, sugar, butter, egg and milk. So it's basically the same. I think it's very similar to an American style pancake.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think it's very similar because they're quite small like that as well, aren't they?
Yeah.
My daughter weirdly had these for breakfast yesterday. My husband got them for her yesterday as a treat because it was her big school play. So we got them in the morning for her as like a big thing to help
but
her.
Like pre-made ones that she could heat up and...
Yeah, we didn't make them. We didn't make them, Chad.
Well, you know what makes me laugh, though? Now, like, I mean, however many however long ago it was we recorded the episode, when I heard the word dropscone, or dropscone, if I'm going to be honest about how I would say it, I thought it was like a scone that you didn't like shape and then cut into wedges, but that you literally just took two spoons and like scooped and then just let it like fall onto the pan and then you baked it the same way. I was not thinking of a pancake at all.
Yeah.
That is so wild. See, for us, pancakes are pancakes. Like, we just have kind of like our, I mean, it's American style. It's not like it's a universal pancake. It's like our way that we eat it. But if you, I mean, yeah, that would just be like a pancake for us. Wow.
Yeah. And I did look up the recipe for an American style pancake and it's basically the same thing.
Yeah. 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 That sounds, well, that makes a lot more sense, because when you said dropscone, I was like, but she mixed it. It had like a batter. It wasn't like firm. Although, girls, I'll just tell you, speaking of pancakes, just a quick diversion here. I found a pancake recipe because I love a pancake, but I do not like pancakes when they're like flat and kind of lit, you know? Actually, I want a really tall, fluffy, puffy pancake. Day. Well, see, I don't like British pancakes like how you do on pancake day. Like, I'm not.
Podcast is canceled. It's canceled. Get off.
Sorry. Sorry. I know I just.
Sorry, hang on. Sorry, everyone. Jen, get off the call. Sorry, everyone. Call the midwife is now. Recall the midwife is now just me and Bex.
We had a nice run. I apologize.
She's ruined it, everyone.
I just want like a really thick pancake that's like really fluffy and like, you know, holds a lot of syrup and butter and like all that kind of stuff like that. And I found this really, really amazing recipe, but the batter is so thick. You can't pour it. It's like, it's thinner than a scone or a biscuit batter or like mixture, but it's thick. It's way, way, way thicker than a regular pancake. And so basically you do have to like take a spoon, like scoop it and then like plop it onto the pan. And then it just kind of like melt. Anyway, long story short, they're amazing.
Does it have egg in it?
It does have an egg in it.
Great. Well,
Alex doesn't want an egg then.
Sorry. Well, you can use egg replacer. You can use something else.
No, Becky does really good ones. She used buttermilk. Anyway, we're well off the topic here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we are.
Speaking of Sheila, yeah. They didn't say the name of the baby in the last episode. They just said it was a boy. So we actually got the name reveal, which is Teddy.
Baby Teddy, though, with his legs hanging bare.
Oh, baby Teddy. He was. Did you see him? There was one scene where she was walking by the Christmas tree. Got modern heating in their
household, Bex.
No, but yeah, there was one.
Sheila looked cozy. Everybody else was frozen to the bone.
Well, sorry, I mean, Ben. He was wearing a heating blanket because that baby was on her the whole time. And the one that made me laugh was when he had the knit outfit and his whole body was just like this. It was like literally like a Mr. Potato Head shape because his whole body was just like teeny tiny. And then it just like had this, and then he just had this massive like 12 inch wide butt from his diaper. And I just, I'm never going to get over these cloth diaper butted babies on this show. It's just, it's too cute. It's too cute.
It is, to be fair.
And he was sleeping low. I mean, that baby was so... Baby Teddy, oh my God, he's gorgeous. Also, do you guys still eat Brussels sprouts every year for Christmas? Because literally everybody was making Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, that's what we're all going to be doing in a week's time.
Well, I won't be because I don't have a traditional Christmas lunch. We have beef Wellington, but I went on my work's Christmas do and we had a traditional Christmas lunch, but it was nighttime. And we had, turkey with all the trimmings, which was sprouts.
Brussels sprouts is always on Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
Is it pretty much the only time of year you eat Brussels sprouts, or do you eat it like
I have lot? Them all year round?
Oh, okay.
No, it's the only time of year we eat them.
And how do you prepare your Brussels sprouts?
So times have changed. So a lot of people will do them like with bacon lardons.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So you'll like parboil them and then fry them off with some bacon and stuff and some butter.
Do you know what we do, Jen? My husband buys them microwave packs and pings them in the microwave.
That's sacrilege.
You say that, it's delish. We have it.
But do they
we
actually have it taste
tea.
Good?
I had them this week for tea. I had them with steak and some potatoes. It was lovely.
And they taste nice. They don't taste kind delish. Of like, oh, okay.
See, we love cabbage in this household as well.
Oh.
We like cruciferous vegetables.
Oh, cruciferous is a very good word.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wow. Between that and the word used at the beginning. Okay, girls, wait. Now I love a diversion, but we have really gone.
All we've done is divert. Anyway, I know. Okay. No milkman. Reggie's no milkman. These are all my...
Yeah. Also, Barbara comes across to Nanata's house because the community hall is flooded, so they can't have clinic there. They have clinic at Valerie's aunt's pub. That's probably all we need to say about
Nanata's house.
I don't know. Here are my notes. Barbara's hair grew literally 4 inches in 2 weeks. Her hair was so much noticeably longer in that. Oh, and then my other thing about the snowstorm was Phyllis takes note. And then I wrote up. And then she told that cop, what for? Because this is the first time you meet that horrible cop that's like always in tech. It's like
Sergeant Wolf.
Yeah, it's very much like the boy who pulls the girl's pigtails kind of energy from him for every time we see him.
Well,
out
it
for
seems like that, but then it never develops into.
Yeah, but spoiler alert, he wants it to.
Yeah. That's what he's going for, because as we'll see down the road, that's where he's trying to get
also,
it to go.
On the subject of police, you know, last week when I was like, oh, what has a wedding dress salesperson done wrong to Heidi Thomas? The same goes for police, because you've got hapless Peter and now Sergeant Wolf just basically going around being rubbish and just being awful.
I know, like horrible. And the thing is, this week isn't even the worst of it. Like, remember, like, I think there's like an episode in a couple of weeks where he's really heartless and Phyllis has to like basically yell at him. And then he's like, oh, you know, and then he does finally the right thing. But
Sister Julianne had a moment though, because when Barbara comes across to tell them that the community hall is flooded, Sister Julianne is quite critical of her hat. I'm like, it's freezing cold and you're going to ask if that hat is part of the uniform.
I know, and I love that hat. I would, that is totally something I would wear, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. It probably came from Alex's wardrobe.
Can we just talk really quickly about the Sergeant Wolf situation again, though? So basically, the policeman kind of has a bit of a
spat. He's a jobster, isn't he?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And he has a bit of a spat with Phyllis, who's normally very, very on rules and stuff. So she gets an igloo built, and he's like, she gets the pack, pack, pack. She gets the cubs to build an igloo. And he's like, take that down. It's a hazard. And she's like, what? This is ridiculous. And then he says, you should be doing something useful, right? With no witnesses apart from the cubs, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's this whole situation where everyone in the whole town is really annoyed about having no milk, which I would be exactly the same. They're all up in arms. They're trying to get milk from the milk place, and they're saying they can't give them milk into their things they've brought because it's not sanitary. They've got no bottles, and these people are bringing like urns and things like that, or like jugs, and they like, we can't do that because they're not sanitized, and everyone's getting all annoyed and everything, and everyone's up in arms. And there's this big public spat between Nurse Crane. Sergeant Wolf says something like, what are you going to do about it or something? She says, since you ask, I'm off to do something useful. And then all the public laugh loads. They weren't there for the first time that he said people. Why are they finding that so hilarious? Anyway, so I'll carry on the storyline. Pack, pack, pack. Get a load of milk bottles with Reggie. And I loved it. I loved how inclusive and amazing it was for Reggie as well. And he was really amazing. And they got all the milk bottles and everyone was all really, really loving it. And basically they got a load of milk out to everyone. And it was just, that was the best part for me. I'm not going to lie. Because I hated the other storylines today.
Oh, did you? Can I just make a note about?
I hate them. They were just so sad.
Yeah, sorry. Auntie Florrie's pub.
Oh,
yeah.
And she's. This is the only point I think I'm going to speak on behalf of all as well. I say this is actually the only point we need to make on this storyline. But Auntie Florrie is very. When Val's, is it Val that says she's going to go and set up the urine testing?
Yeah,
station. It's Val. Mm-hmm. And Auntie Florrie is very about cleanliness. She won't be that. She's not that judgmental about what goes on her kitchen table, is she?
Oh,
spoiler alert!
Yeah,
you said
exactly,
it.
Exactly my point. I've got that written down as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I didn't know if we were going to meet somebody else today either, but we didn't. We just met Auntie Florrie, so that's fine.
Should we talk about the Tillersons?
Ugh, I hated this storyline so much.
Oh, it was just so sad. So,
Jen, I don't know if this will mean anything to you, but do you recognize Mabel Tillerson?
Yes. But I don't know where from. I was like, I've seen this lady, but I couldn't place her. I definitely have.
Well, she's really famous over here for being on EastEnders. She was Angie in EastEnders, Angie and Dan, which were a very, very famous couple. On Christmas Day, 19 million people tuned in for him to tell her he wanted a divorce. Because, you know, that's what we like in Britain, really cheery storylines. She's also in real life married to Brian May from Queen. So I didn't know if that maybe.
Oh, my God, you're kidding.
No.
Oh, okay. That's awesome. For her.
Yeah. So anyway, so we first meet the Tillersons when Mr. Tillerson goes to Dr. Turner and he has a burn on his leg and he's so lovely and happy and jovial.
And you think this is the nicest man and he's so sweet and he cares about his wife and blah blah blah.
And then when some kids find the body, because his body's kind of been hidden in a snowdrift, you think, oh, this is so tragic.
Uh-huh.
Well, also Dr. Turner was checking for a pulse.
The man is under 2 feet of snow and he's just like, wait, hold on, just gotta make sure here, you know.
Then he found his leg under the snow, to be fair, and that was good.
Yeah But then Sister Julianne goes to Mabel's house. They have to, she looks in the peephole. Wait, did I jump ahead?
Well, should we talk about Dr. Turner bringing Sheila?
Oh yeah. You know what? Okay, just two moments here for Dr. Turner and Fred, because I love both of these men so much, but I'm sorry. Dr. Turner literally calls Sheila. He rants and raves. He complains the whole time.
About the woman you put in charge.
Yeah, exactly. That, by the way,
you put in charge.
That, by the way, he doesn't even remember the name of, which, rude, okay? And then she's like, oh, Patrick, well, we're going to have to do something about this. And he's like, oh, yeah, I know we will, but also, like, sorry. Like, I've literally just complained for 45 minutes to you now on the phone. And he's like,
but he also shouts at her. He shouts at her and says, I've got enough to do, Sheila. Reminded me, put it in the drawer, Sheila. I've got enough to do, Sheila. Well, do you know what, mate? So she's got a potty training baby, 14-year-old running around. She's just had her own baby that's breastfeeding all the time.
Yeah, shut exactly. Up. I know. And then he's like, oh, yeah, sorry. Knowing full well she's going to do something about it. Like, she's not just going to sit there and, like, let him just, like, suffer through or whatever.
Well, that's why he's doing it. It's the classic, oh, I'm going to ring you and moan, but, oh, no, that's fine. I shouldn't have bothered you. But actually, yeah. I know
it's like,
that
well, you should have thought about not bothering me, like, 10 minutes ago when you picked up the phone. You know what I mean? And then the other
one
he's
done
irritates...
it to bother it. He's done it to bother it. And that's...
Well, that's exactly the point.
This scene will frustrate many, many women across yes. the world.
Yes.
Because it frustrated me, because I was exactly. just like, I see that pattern.
It's like, why are you calling me? What am I supposed to do about this? Like, do you want me to solve it? It's like, no, I don't want you to solve it. Then the other one was when Fred was mansplaining to Violet about why there was no milk. He's like, well, listen, Vi, milk comes from the country, and then they go bring it into the thingy-doos and blah, blah. And I was just like, Fred, you don't think Violet knows how milk works, okay? You don't have to tell her. It was so I love Fred, but it was so annoying.
So we should probably say that Sheila, prompted by Dr. Turner's call, comes back to work.
Yes.
Sister Julienne has also stepped into the breach. I do have to ask, why was Sheila getting dressed in the lounge?
Because they haven't got a set for their bedroom.
That's exactly
but they do,
why.
Because she gave birth in it the other week.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know. Maybe she just likes it. She's an exhibitionist and wants to give her neighbors a good show.
I'll tell you what, though, when we were watching that, my mom, like, was literally laughing, and she was like, there's nothing more relatable. She's like, I've been there, girl. Like, it was a very. You know, like, I know how you feel, you know.
Just on
funny.
This last thing on this storyline, do you know what else really annoyed me? When Dr. Turner said to Sheila, you're doing too much, Sheila. Well, what? You're ringing her, guilting her into coming back into work, shouting at her because the person she hired that you can't remember the name of hasn't turned up. Like,
yeah.
And then she's like, if I don't do too much, not enough gets done. I did like seeing him try and sew.
Yeah. I was like, good on him. Well, no, not good on him, because
he should have done it first place. Yeah.
But you know what also, like, throwback, Al, to your comment, like, way, way, way long ago when you made the thing about Sheila sews to show she loves. And it's another scene where she's sewing because out of love.
Yeah.
So
with every stitch goes a bit of her heart or something ridiculous.
Sister Julianne steps in. She gets her A to Z out, and she finds Mabel Tillerson so that mm-hmm. she can break the news. Her neighbours don't even know she lives there, because they've never seen who lives there, because Percy keeps her under lock and key.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, she gets them to break in, doesn't she? Because she
looks through the
keyhole.
Keyhole.
No, it's letterbox.
The letterbox. I was like, what do you call that? The letterbox. She looks through the letterbox and she sees that she's passed. Is she passed?
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Out on the sofa, she's unconscious.
Yeah. It was
she's unconscious on the sofa.
Yeah,
she's
and we're all thinking like, oh no, this woman is going to be so bereaved and like she's passed out and it's so terrible, blah blah blah. Well, come to find out,
no. I loved it when she just turned the photo upside down.
Yeah, she was like,
I'm glad.
Yeah,
I'm glad he didn't know how to say it. She kept saying, I'm glad she left. And I'm glad he didn't have a say about how he met his aunt. And I'm glad he, what she kept saying. I'm like, all right, mate.
Well, but the thing is, it was so painful because Sister Julianne kind of starts, she realizes, okay, this woman is not upset that her husband hasn't come home. She's not only not upset he hasn't come home, she's really actually happy that he's died, finally. And then you hear about the son who basically decided to run away to the war as a way to escape his horrible family. So he was a boy Edwin. Soldier. Yeah, in World War II. He was in a Japanese internment camp, and the mother was like, oh, that'll be okay, because he's already suffered so much. He knows how to take abuse and survive it. Well, yeah, exactly. But then tragedy, the son dies of cholera in that concentration or in that prisoner of war camp. Okay, that's bad enough. Well, then it's like, okay, that's horrific. Well, come to find out there's another child, a daughter.
Anthea.
And who?
Anthea.
Anthea, yes, exactly. I was like, wait, what? I forgot her name. I apologize. But then and Sister Julian is like, oh, she's so beautiful. And she's like, I know, that was the problem, because my horrible, disgusting husband did horrible things to this young woman, which I don't even want to say what he did. But just
his own daughter.
Yeah, just imagine.
We're hearing this on Christmas Day. Do you know what I mean? Like, obviously, this is because all the Christmas Day episodes are aired on Christmas Day in the UK. We also, by the way, Jen, it's aired on Christmas Day in the US this year as well. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Anyway, but it's just so dark for Christmas Day finding out about this incest storyline.
Yeah, and not just that.
Well, do you know what annoyed me? So Mabel Tillerson tells Julianne, she's a very real oversharer, but she tells her all this within like the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, but she would open up to her because she's a nun.
Well, also now he's died, there's no consequences, is there?
Well, yeah, it's the first time she can really talk to somebody in probably like 50 years or whatever.
Yeah, but she still lied. She said that Angela ran away and I was glad, right?
So isn't that called Anthea?
Anthea, yeah.
You said it's just called her Angela.
Did I? Oh God, honestly, I just read that. It says Anthea right in front of me, and I said Angela.
Well, I think maybe she's the thing is, I think the runaway story is basically like glossing over of the actual truth, which then they do get to the heart of, which is basically that Anthea suffered terrible sexual abuse at the hands of her father for like a good portion of her childhood, resulting in an incestuous pregnancy at 15. Okay. And then when they realize that happened, the mother goes home somehow. So then the father finds out what's happened. He kicks the daughter out. Before he kicks her out, Mabel puts 10 bob note into her coat pocket, and then Anthea comes running back like, no, let me back in, which is so painful as well to think about the complexities of that family dynamic there. But she ultimately does leave with that money, and then as the records show, and the way they told it was like really heartbreaking, because Sheila was basically using medical records to give the exposition for what happened in his family, because then Mabel suffers a really horrific beating right after, you know, that news is discovered, which, you know, but she's the only one at that point that can be the, you know, the one to get the abuse, because there's nobody else in the household. So then she suffers with Percival for the next God knows how many years, and then Sister Julianne, sorry, now I'm just telling the whole thing, but anyway, Sister Julianne and then finds Anthea, and it turns out that she is like a married mother of three with a fourth one on the way, but she's also fostered like 30 children in her life.
Well, yeah, she's saying she never wanted to close a door in anyone's face. She always wanted to keep doors open. That's why she did it.
And she's never raised a hand to any child. She's only ever raised her voice.
Yeah,
which and was I another huge.
When she says that nobody opened the door to her, I don't think Mabel would have had a choice. Her mother wouldn't have been able to let her back in because she would have been under Percy's control.
I'm not saying she did. I'm not saying she was. Well, she kept saying she was glad about stuff. I'm not saying, but I just thought it was a bit strange how she did lie to Sister Julianne, because she said, oh, did my mother tell you to run away? And she was like, yeah. And she was like, well, I didn't run away. I was kicked out. And I'm like, oh, why did she lie when actually? Maybe it's to make herself feel a bit better or look a bit better in that story. I don't know.
I think it
but
is,
also,
honestly.
do you think sometimes people tell themselves
stories, yes.
A story, and then it almost becomes And when she does kind of say to Sister Julianne that she put the 10 bob note in her pocket. That bit where I just thought that bit was heartbreaking, because that was her escape route, that 10 bob note.
Yeah,
but she didn't use it.
But she gave it to her.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
for a daughter.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
she's like, I gave her the option that I was never brave enough to take myself.
Yeah.
Which was so deeply sad. I mean, just the whole way that they told the story was, I mean, it was, yeah, heartbreaking and really painfully sad, but like at the same time, like beautifully done, because the scene where Sister Julian goes to Anthea's house after she's learned the real truth of it all and she's, you know, gone with Mabel to the funeral and all of that kind of stuff, she says, you know, would you like to meet her? There's this like dinner we're having for the seniors and a Christmas show and everything. And she says, no, I can't do it. Like it's drug up like all these really painful memories. And like, she's like, I want to enjoy my last baby. You know, like I couldn't enjoy my first. And she's like, I can't see her. And she says, you know, she says the thing about, you know, like something about closed doors, you know, like I don't want to close the door in anyone's face. And then Sister Julian says, I know that's I respect your decision because that's how we operate as well. And then you realize that, you know, for Sister Julian, it's like, I have to keep my door open for Mabel because she still deserves like, you know, care and attention just like anyone else. And like, you know, just because she's gone through this and just because she's made her mistakes in her life and has been, you know, victimized or anything, we can't, you know, keep her apart, basically, you know. And it was just what happened.
Yeah, so Mabel does go to the lunch and she sat ready to watch the pantomime, and then Anthea comes and she brings a new baby and she brings a husband and children,
a bunch of her,
and I just children. Thought that scene was so lovely because the fact that Mabel just had no words when she saw her. I don't know, it was so well done.
I'm gonna just rain on everyone's parade. I hated it. Why? I hated it. I felt like, I don't know if I was in a mood when watching it, but I still didn't like it. I didn't like how Sister Julianne was so meddling. This poor Angela, not Angela, why have I just called her Angela again? Anthea has gone through this horrific, traumatic time. And yes, Mabel's been through a traumatic time as well, but Anthea's had horrific time. She's pregnant again. She's about to have a fourth. She's like, I don't want this. I don't want this. And Julianne just kept visiting her. And I just thought it was so meddling. And I was just like, go away. Just leave her alone. It really annoyed me. And Sister Julianne could never do wrong ever to me normally. But I just did not like it. I just thought, just leave her alone. She's asked you not to, and she still carried on, and it just annoyed me. I don't think it was just a very difficult, it didn't sit right with me, a horrible storyline. And I think I just kept thinking about the fact that it's Christmas Day and I would have been annoyed watching it live.
Well, listen, I didn't have the same feeling, but I respect your opinion for sure. 100%. But
ultimately, a lot of feelings have been buried by Anthea, and I think Sister Julianne was right because it helped her to process it.
I just still don't know if anything could be. I don't know. I've never been through a situation like that, and maybe I'm being too harsh on Mabel. But I just think
to remember Mabel.
Well, here's how I look at it, okay? Because I actually thought about this like after I was just don't like, think sobbing I could forgive my eyes
Mabel
out.
If I was Anthea, even if like I get that he was very coercive control of and all this, and it wasn't like now where women could leave easier and everything like that. I get that, but even then. I just thought it was quite rich of Sister Julianne to try and get her to forgive her now just because he's died. Like, there's still a hell of a lot that's happened that would be so traumatic for Anthea. And I just think it was quite glib of Sister Julianne. And I never, ever think Sister Julianne is a meddler. And this did annoy me.
Well, I'll say two things about it. First off, because you've said this to me about certain storylines that I have kind of a similar reaction to. You're like, look, at the end of the day, it's still a Sunday night. It's still a Christmas episode. Like, people do want, you know, reconciliation. They want something like uplifting. And like, if you're going to have a hard storyline, it's a way to. Well, listen, I've had this reaction about other storylines and you're like, yeah, I know. But remember,
I'm joking.
You know, so
I get very wise, Jen.
You are. And I'm using your own logic against you, which I know was something you love to have happen. But the other thing too is like, one thing I thought about the storyline after, as again, I was like still sobbing, was that what I appreciated was that a lot of times in a story of abuse, the abuser, the victimizer has a very significant role and they're kind of a centerpiece of it, you know, because it's like, you know, it's in many ways like their story, you know? The thing that I feel like they did very thoughtfully in this is that they really kind of dispensed with Percival pretty quickly. And though the aftermath of his actions was omnipresent when you were talking with these two women, it was still about the journey that they had to go on and what they were going to do and how the choices that they were going to make as they stepped forward. And I didn't see, I mean, Sister Julianne kept on going back to Anthea for sure, but at the same time, I didn't see her like pushing and I didn't feel it was pushing. I felt, or meddling. I felt that, you know, she was kind of asking to come in and discuss, and then Anthea was giving her that permission. And even when Anthea objected, she was like, okay, I understand. I'm just giving you this option, you know?
Yeah.
And then they let the ladies figure it out themselves. And it was about their ability to kind of go forward and, you know, begin like taking a very, very first tentative step towards some kind of understanding, compassionate reconciliation, something like that, maybe. But I didn't see like, oh, all of a sudden this history is like forgiven and it's washed away and like everything's fine. So that's a little bit of context from me. But
I think I agree with you. I think she was giving Anthea the choice.
Mm-hmm.
And also Mabel and Anthea were both victims of Percy.
Very much. Definitely.
And
yeah.
I'm not saying Mabel wasn't, but at the same time, I feel like Anthea was more.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, she was more for sure. But at this, but I just, again, I mean, I think I would only say that I don't think quantifying abuse in terms of like who suffered more, who's like more to blame or whatever. I mean, the thing I would lay at Mabel's feet is that because she was an adult and because she was a parent, that's that there what, was something different about her dynamic there.
Yeah, exactly.
There.
I think that's what I think. I think that's why I'm a bit, she should have been more protective as a mother. And I know I get why they've explained it well, but I'm still just a bit against it.
But I think, I mean, Percy was the one who threw Anthea out, but I don't think Mabel would have had the option to let Anthea back into the house.
Right.
But also, if she had have had that option, that was Anthea's escape route.
And look, I mean, yeah. I hate to hear this when it's leveled at me, when it's something I'm railing about on the show. But the thing we always have to remember with Mabel is that, like, especially, I mean, not even in 1962, but especially 20, 30, 40 years earlier, she had absolutely, like, not even no rights, like less than no rights, like negative rights. You know what I mean? She didn't have, I mean, when we had that storyline earlier with the woman who was getting abused and Sister Julian was talking to Peter and Jenny Lee about it, it was like she can't do anything. She can't file for divorce. I mean, the woman that was married to Lenny, the guy who just got out of prison that was like beating her up and everything, she had to basically make a case for why he was. I mean, it was just Mabel was as helpless as a child in many ways in that situation, just like Anthea was, because the society that produced that relationship didn't give her agency as a full adult, you know? So, I mean, she was an adult, she was a parent, but in terms of her ability to fight back against her abuser, she was really, really, I mean.
I know, but we're not going to agree on this.
And it's okay if we don't. It's okay if we don't.
Yeah. Wasn't but also, from rape.
I don't think it's easy now for women to walk away from that situation, but also, you've got that added layer of complexity that Mabel wouldn't even be able to open a bank account. She wouldn't be able to. She wouldn't be able to have a mortgage without a male countersign. Like, she just wouldn't have had the logistics of being able to start a new life.
I mean, I'll say this. I think the fact that we're all having such powerful feelings about it, and that we feel differently about it, shows what a complicated issue it is, and that it's a really tough one. And I mean, the fact they put this in the show just continually is like so wild to me, because
also,
I know that's
Christmas
what it's about.
Day. What a dark, dark, depressing story on Christmas Day.
But they're never light stories, are they? Honestly,
well, remember Mrs. Jenkins?
We could have had Tom and Barbara, just a lovely wedding.
I know, but Mrs. Jenkins was the story in like the first season, and she was like the workhouse lady, and then it was the girl who gave birth in the shed, and then she like
lovely light storylines, Jeff.
And I think I understand partly where you come from, Alex, because you're like, she didn't stand up for a daughter.
Yeah, and that is really painful.
But I do think she's
you know how full of compassion I normally am. And I am. I was the only one who liked Marnie who was like compassionate about it. But I just, honestly, there's something about this storyline that just didn't sit well with me. It just didn't.
Yeah. That's okay. That truly is okay, obviously.
I will say Anthea's husband seemed lovely, though.
Oh, Mr. Sweeting?
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I love
also,
him too.
Also, I'm not making light of this whole storyline, but can we just all say Anthea?
Anthea?
You say it. How do you say it?
Bex? How do you say
Anthea?
Jen, you say it how?
Anthea?
Yeah, Anthea. I just think that's cool. Anyway, is that how they say it in America more? Anthea?
Yeah, I don't think I would say Anthea. Yeah, I think I'd have it as like almost two syllables. Mm. That's probably how I'd say it, yeah.
Speaking of weird names, should we go on to Selwyn and Linda?
Yes.
Selwyn, I mean.
Now, actually, this storyline was, in comparison, a lot more uplifting. Even though it had its very dark moments too, where all of us were sobbing into our pillows, or was that just me? Oh my word.
Well, so Linda, she's really quite an overshare on a first checkup with Val. She's just like, he's not the father of my baby. I don't really like him. In fact, I hate him.
It's like my neighbour. I'm not a fan of an oversharer.
Oh man, have you guys ever had a thing where you like don't even like somebody, but then at the same time you're like kind of? Then this is not Linda and Selwyn at all. I'm just like now going off on another tangent where you like don't even really like somebody, but you find yourself like weirdly being preoccupied with them, and you're just like, what are they thinking? What are they thinking? Like, what does this mean? What does that mean? And it's just like, why am I bothering? I genuinely don't have any interest here, but like for some reason it just grabs your brain.
Well, that's should Linda I do a bit? Selwyn and Linda, because she's in a relationship with him, even though she doesn't seem to like him at all.
Should I do some scene setting for us with Selwyn and Linda?
Oh, yes, that's really good, actually. Yes, do that.
So they've come to Poplar. They come to the clinic in the pub because Linda hasn't had a midwife's appointment in London. They've moved down from up north.
Hull.
Selwyn is a roofer, and Linda has basically got into a relationship with somebody. She's fallen pregnant. Did Selwyn come to fix the roof at her lodgings before she was thrown out?
Yeah, let's say that. I've no idea.
The whole building was falling down, and she was like, he was part of the crew that came to fix it.
And he was basically kind to her. He said he doesn't mind that the baby's not his. He's prepared to take on the responsibility. Selwyn's lovely. Linda was a bit...
horrible.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Linda was a bleep and something.
That's Selwyn what I was absolutely top notch. Selwyn was top notch.
Selwyn was lovely.
Oh, he was amazing.
They're living in a caravan. I'm surprised they didn't freeze to death.
I know. I've stayed in a caravan. So I worked for Eurocamp for one summer when I was like 21. And we did the stage where you take everything down. So we were staying in caravans, taking tents down, going around different campsites, like closing it down for winter. And it was, oh my goodness, it was absolutely freezing in these caravans. And that wasn't in the big freeze in 1962. We had heaters.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, girls, sorry. This is a very stupid side note, but I'm just going to do it right now. Much like Fred's overalls, I now really want Barbara's Fair Isle sweater that she was wearing when she and Tom were talking about the move. Because it looked, and then when they, and then when the, Val brought the baby back, and then Barbara and Tom ran from their house over to like see if everyone's okay, and she was talking to Val about it. I was like, oh, I really want that Fair Isle cardigan so bad.
Well, hang on, let's get to that. So anyway, she goes into labor, and in the labor, can I just say she was, I want it out. That was me. That was 100% me.
Well, how
then Val had just gone to check up on her, hasn't she? But then found her in labor.
Yes. Well, she a bit early, wasn't she?
Yeah.
She had a baby boy, and that would have been the end of that lovely storyline, and everyone would have been happy. But obviously, the baby wasn't breathing. It was making no noise. It was absolutely hard. Again, this is on Christmas Day. We've already had the flaming incest storyline. And now this. I was sobbing my heart out.
Oh.
I did love
it. Well, Val was trying to revive him. It was just horrific.
I'm just talking about a lovely scene. I love the scene where Trixie came out because Val hadn't come back.
Oh, and she was
just
worried.
Just threw the bike down.
Yeah.
That would have been me.
Mm-hmm. But Selwyn said don't cover his face, which was and I've just put loads of notes saying here OMG a Christmas Day episode.
Well, when Selwyn gave him a hot water bottle,
Selwyn saved that baby.
Really, truly, he did. Yeah, Val clearly wasn't doing it. I mean, no harm against Val, but...
Oh, it's not her fault.
No, it's not her fault. It really isn't. I didn't mean it that way. But I just was like, oh, that baby. And then when she heard it, like, cooing or crying or whatever in the bag, and then, oh my God, I just...
And then Linda saying that she didn't see him. And obviously Selwyn hadn't said he was beautiful, but she didn't want to, she couldn't look. And then she was saying she didn't feel like his mum, and Trixie was so lovely in that scene, saying that she did know really him because he was inside of her and knew her heart. And then...
That was really beautiful. That was really beautiful.
I really loved that when Tom and Barbara came over, Barbara went straight to Val.
I know.
Yeah, same. They are a dream team with that kind of thing within a disaster. I'd want Barbara rather than Tom, can I just say.
Oh, 1,000%. I'm sorry. Tom is... Like, sorry.
So Trixie was really good in that moment, but I tell you what moment she wasn't good in is when so the baby is alive, it's well, they put it into an incubator and an ambulance brings it back to the caravan.
I would not have done what Trixie did. I know, that actually annoys me.
Horrific.
I've written it down.
Oh.
Right, say it, because honestly, okay. I knew you were going to say it.
She says, I know you're grieving, but sometimes when a terrible thing happens and we survive it, we find something beautiful waiting for us on the other side.
No.
I would have run into that caravan.
He's alive!
He's alive!
I know! I literally would have been like, oh, I'm just like totally uncouth. Totally. This, to me, that line was like somebody who has created a narrative device, like, you know, they have this baby, da da da, then it, you know, and then they're like, okay, but we need a bridge between them being grief stricken about a dead baby and then them hearing that the baby isn't alive.
It was honestly like a riddle. sometimes.
No, but,
like,
oh, I know, but that's what I'm saying. It's like someone was like, how do I get from here to here? And they just didn't know. And then they thought of this, or someone suggested, who knows what. This part came and they were like, is that really right? And then it was like, well, it's time to shoot the scene. So here you go. Here's the script. And like, I was just like, no, this is just too weird. Like, it just, also, why wasn't it Val? I mean, Val delivered the baby. Val was the one that was with them. Why didn't she was there too. It wasn't like she didn't travel in the ambulance. Like, she should have gone in and been like, Linda, so when, like, you,
the we most thought miraculous the baby was thing, dead, but it wasn't.
Like,
but
the most no, miraculous
instead,
thing
let's
happened,
solve a riddle, like, from Trixie.
Like, it was just weird. It was just also, weird. I'm sorry.
Trixie talks about them surviving it. They're only like half an hour into.
To be fair, it's the worst traumatic thing that would ever have happened to
them.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was just like, oh, you guys, you know? I mean, I just really felt for Linda because, I mean, you could tell she was so conflicted about every single part of that situation leading up to it. And not to say that she wasn't, like, looking forward to having the baby, but at the same time you were like, this is a woman who's deeply, well, I said it before, like, conflicted, I felt. And so then when that happened and the baby wasn't making it, then it seemed like she just felt incredibly guilty is what I got. And then she realized kind of what she had and what she, like, you know, was losing at the time before she knew that the baby was okay. And then, I mean, to me, the scene that was actually really nice, and I was like so grateful we got there, even though it was really painful to do it, was when they were finally in the hospital. And then she turned to Selwyn and she said, I really want to name him after you. And she said, Selwyn's a bit awkward. Do you have a middle name? And he was like, yeah.
Selwyn. Ugh, I'm not calling that. What's your middle name?
Yeah.
That's Selwyn.
But Selwyn was, oh my God, Selwyn was truly a hero. Like, honestly, one of the best men of the show. I'm just going to say it.
He was great.
Yeah. A++.
Also, another Love thing him. I liked in this whole thing was when Val said she didn't believe in God. To Sister Monica Joan, and it just made me absolutely laugh. I was just like, oh, that's awkward.
Oh, see, I actually really thought that was a beautiful scene because
same, but it's just the way she said it to Sister Monica Joan.
She's like, I don't believe in God, okay, leave me alone.
Yeah.
The thing that made me cry, and I was already crying, oh, who am I kidding, but I wrote this line down because this I thought was so beautiful. So, and this I thought was a really, really great scene because, okay, you have somebody who doesn't have a faith life and someone who has a very, very strong faith life, but it's like, there's still a way to meet in the middle. And that to me was just what I thought the scene embodied. But the line from Sister Monica Joan that I love, where she said, the hands of the Almighty are so often to be found at the end of our own arms.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, like, whatever you believe or don't believe is, like, truly your business. And, like, you know, that is absolutely no one else's to say or judge or whatever like that. But I just thought, that was just such a beautiful way of saying it. Like, whatever Valerie believes, like, what she does has, like, power and importance and value. And I just thought it was great. I just loved
Same.
It.
Same. I wrote it down as well. I really loved it. And it was a brilliant scene, to be fair. And also, it was the scene where she had the secreted milk as well, which made me laugh.
All right, girls, is there anything else we need to talk about?
Tom and Barbara.
Yeah.
Tom and Barbara. Okay.
I just love Barbara. She's just so lovely. The way she was in bed in a hat. And Tom was a bit distasteful. It did make me laugh the way he was going on about the fact that the dead body was the warmest thing in the room. And she was like, that was very distasteful. And then she's just so lovely, but he's like, oh, we're starving here. She's like, we can't even begin to know starvation. Like, she's just so earnest and lovely and in bed with a hat and a penguin under a pillow.
I want to ask about this because Tom says about how much they're struggling. And I'm not saying that they're not struggling. Do you think Tom pays rent? Or do you think that house is...
He doesn't pay rent. Preachers don't pay rent. No.
So he lives there free. So those two are living in a flat. House that they don't pay rent for. And then I know that with inequality in pay, Barbara won't be paid a lot, but Tom's got an income. Barbara's
not
got
a
full time.
Not a lot. And he's paid, bearing in mind, he's feeding the homeless people every night.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Barbara's got a full time wage.
Yeah.
Just think they're not paying rent.
Shut up, Tom. Well, to be fair, that's what Barbara kind of says, though. She's like, I've got a penguin here. Shut it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, they're both, Tom probably only gets like a very small stipend, I would imagine, for, you know, his work because he does get so much of it paid for. Like, that's kind of built in. But at the same time, like, they're both fine. Neither one of them is going hungry. I mean, Barbara had that cute hat on. She was wearing that Farrell sweater. Where do you think that Farrell sweater came from? You know what I mean? Like, somebody had to buy that. She bought that, you know? Like, she bought her own engagement ring, for God's sakes. Like, they're fine. He just needs to, like, chill with with that. I think he was looking for reasons not to go to Bristol and not to like figure out the next step. And he just, I don't know, he was kind of complaining. The best thing Tom did was when he finally decided he was going to stop being a sad sack and do the play. And then when he went in and he saw the hand within a hand within a hand, which to me was like, I was getting very like love is love is love is love vibes from that. But then he was like, it was such a beautiful vision of love. And I was like, okay, Tom. I mean, it was, honestly, he was right about that. But then finally, and then he was like, yeah, I think we should go to Birmingham.
Yeah. Birmingham.
Yeah. And Barbara was like, yeah, great. That's what I thought we should do all along. So like, I can like literally come back to my job anytime. And he's like, oh, okay. Yeah. Then I guess we will go. And she's like,
Oh, well, no, though, he finally got there.
I liked Phyllis's advice to just pester and pester and pester.
Yeah. That's what I do. My husband will tell you that.
Well, you know what I thought was so sweet? Because we had a listener say this some time ago. We haven't talked about it in a minute. But I really loved how they have the song that they sang in the show. Say goodbye for the summer. You know, darling.
Sealed with a kiss.
Such a beautiful song. Yeah, sealed with a kiss.
Do you know who covered that, Jen? Who? Jason Donovan from Neighbours. Anyway.
Of course he did. But it was just a perfect song.
There's two things, more things we need to talk about. We need to talk about the TV.
They got the TV back.
Everything.
I know.
Well, good on him, but I'm glad that the Siemens Mission then notified the people who donated in the first place. So whoever's running that Siemens Mission, good on them.
Well done, yeah.
The other thing I want to shout out about is the Christmas Radio Times, a tradition that we still do to this day in this household. We get the pen and we go through it. My daughter does it with us. Love it.
Yeah. What is it? Is it a crossword puzzle?
No, it's TV listings, TV and radio listings in a magazine.
What does that mean? Oh, just special for Christmas Day?
Yeah, well, no, just for the whole
period. So it's an old-fashioned TV weekly magazine.
Oh, okay.
Which we only ever buy it at Christmas.
Now you guys love an old-fashioned Christmas or anything tradition.
Yeah.
Well, now you just get the guide on the TV, but it's not the same because you can't plan out your days as well.
No, we get gold pens and black pens and silver pens.
Awesome.
They're really cool. Yeah. Shall we do Heroes and Zeros, ladies?
Yes, let's do it. We already know who your zero is going to be, Al.
Well, shall I go first then?
Yeah, you go first.
My zero is Sister Bruna from the toilet. What an absolute moron banging at porcelain and then basically baking the whole toilet, the rest of the house.
And frozen porcelain, which is even more brittle. By the way.
Honestly, I was just shouting at the telly, you moron. I wasn't, but in my head I was.
Yeah.
And my hero is going to be, do you know, I've not actually thought about this. How bad's that? I've just been there having a go at you and this and not thinking about it. My hero is definitely not Julianne. It's going to be Barbara because she was amazing in a crisis. And I just think she's absolutely fantastic. And she went straight to Val for moral and emotional support. And she's just so good at knowing exactly what to say. She was really good with Tom. She was really lovely with everyone else. I just think she's absolutely fantastic and she'll be really sorely missed. And I love her.
Yeah. Do you want to go, Jen, or should I?
I'll go. So my zero is going to be Dr. Turner. Come on, can you just give your wife a break? You love her so much, but like at the same time, you're just sometimes like a really, he just is so oblivious and he's very like, here's the other one that really annoyed me when in that scene where he was like, Sheila, you don't have to make us pancakes. You can just make us toast and jam. Like instead of making a hard breakfast, just make us a slightly easier breakfast. It's like,
you're doing too much, Sheila.
Yeah, like why don't you get up and put something in the toaster for once in your life? You know what I mean? Like you have a medical degree.
Put it in the toaster, Sheila.
You have a medical degree, but you literally can't figure out how to depress a button on a simple machine so that you can eat a breakfast. Like, oh my god. Like I love Dr. Turner, but gee whiz. And like, by the way, honorable mention zero for my normal, like absolute fave, Fred, who literally mansplained to Violet, like I said earlier. Like, just come on, my dude. But I did love Fred's makeup at the end when he was in the show, so he kind of redeemed himself there. All right, hero. Selwyn was my hero. He's just the sweetest man. Like, he saw this lonely, sad lady and he smiled at her and was just so kind. And then like a love grew from that. And then he wanted to like take on her baby that wasn't even his baby, which is, I mean, it's just a level of generosity and everything. And then just like his just like small and simple acts of kindness, like just giving that little baby the water bottle, you know what I mean? Like telling it not to, you know, like telling Valerie, like, don't cover his face. Like, just, you know, like putting his hand over her hand and the baby's hand when they were in the hospital. I just, everything he did was just so flippin' beautiful and like so sweet. And if only there were more Selwyns in this world.
Amen.
My zero is gonna be Percival.
That's a good one. Yep, that's a very good one.
I think I've wasted my zero, but carry on.
Well, yeah, I can't believe I blasted Dr. Turner for not making toast when that man was on the screen. Sorry.
I blasted Winifred about a toilet. Carry on.
I don't think I need to say more. And then my hero, even though we know nothing about him, he just seemed lovely in the 5 second scene that we saw him in, is Anthea's husband.
Yeah. Oh, Mr. Sweeting.
Yeah.
Literally so, named for who he is.
Also, yeah. Shout out to Anthea for how far she's turned her life around. And
I know. Yeah, and and no matter what her personal history was, being a foster mother to over 30 children, amazing. that is truly heaven sent right there. So, yeah. Good choice, Bex.
Now, next week, are we doing the recap?
Yes.
Next week, we're doing recaps.
That'll be mine. I have lots of quotes saved, so I just have to go through and pick out which ones are going to be in
amazing. Then the week after that, we are going to do the listener special. Yeah. So if you've
it's
got
PB&J
any questions,
time.
Yeah. Any questions you want to say, anything you want to just tell us, say to us, any ideas you've got for us, anything at all, please get in contact. We have got the email, which is recallthemidwife@gmail.com. We've got our Instagram, Facebook, Threads, X, which was Twitter. Just get in contact with us anyway. Ask us a load of stuff. But we are trying peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and Fluff and Utter. My 6-year-old daughter is joining us for it because she is absolutely determined. She's bursting with excitement about it.
Yeah.
Bex has been told she can have.
It's been confirmed to me I have toasted bread.
I'm not going to do it, though. I'm going to do it properly traditional because I'm not a shirker like you. So
I just think it'll be very, very cloying.
Yeah, I do. But that's the point. We need to try it, don't we? Maybe you should try too.
I'll do both. I'm going to get a Warburton's toasty loaf.
Yeah. There you go. That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it.
So, yes, please listen next week. And we hope you enjoyed it and subscribe and like and don't leave us awful things. Just leave us.
But also,
by the way,
we should say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas! Because this episode is going to air on Christmas Eve, isn't that right?
Yes, it is. So, Merry, Merry Christmas, everyone. Yeah. And if you're listening to this in June, a bit weird. But if you're listening to this when it actually comes out, Merry Christmas!
Or if you're listening to it in a Christmas of years in the future that hasn't even happened yet, but it just happens to coincide with the Christmas listening time, then that's wonderful as
and
well.
And we really hope your Christmas is a lot happier than the Percivals and Selwyn and Linda's. So theirs actually did turn out lovely and happy in the end, though.
Yeah, Selwyn and Linda. We hope that our listeners have a Barbara and Tom or a Nuns of Nonna's House or a Dr. Turner and Sheila type of a Christmas.
But a lot warmer.
And I do have to say, Christmas is quite overrated at times. So shout out to anyone who's not loving it.
Well, yeah, if the holidays aren't good for you, then that's...
Hang on,
then
they will be loving it, Bex, because they're listening to us. So
yeah, they...
Hello, what better way to spend your time?
Exactly.
On that note, thank you so much for listening, and we shall see you next week.
See you next time. Bye. Bye.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.